There is a din in Mechilta that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that the parshias of mezuzah and tefillin have to be written kisidron. You have to write it in order. A Sefer Torah does not have to be written kisidron. So if you find a mistake in a Sefer Torah in the middle of Chumash HaYikah, you correct it and shine, even though you already finished by Midbar and Dvarim. But tefillin and mezuzah have to be written kisidron. So there's a Tshuvas HaRitva that not only do the tefillin and the mezuzah have to be written kisidron, those dalet parshias and the Sefer Torah have to be written kisidron. You have a Sefer Torah where there's a mistake in the middle of one of the dalet parshias of the tefillin, you can't correct it unless the mistake is in the last letter, or you can erase everything from there to the end. So I remember one of the Talmidim showed the Tshuvas HaRitva to Rabbi Soloveitchik because Mamash was a pellet. It didn't make any sense. It's not tefillin and mezuzah. Why should it apply? So right away, without batting an eyelash, he said, he understands the Ritva. He said, it's based on a Gemara and Erevin, the first parak. There's a din that when you write Megillah Soita, the Shavuos HaSoita, so you have to write it with ink, Ksav Sheyochel Himachas. You have to be able to erase it. So the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim. When you write a Sefer Torah, and you're writing Parshas Nasai, Parshas Soita, Ad Kisotis, Tachas Hishech, and so on, so you have to write that with ink. That's Yochel Himachas Anat. So the Gemara says it depends on the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Mochkin Lo Min HaTorah. What's the Machlokes? We know that a get needs Ksiv L'Shmo. Does a Megillah Soita need Ksiv L'Shmo? So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim. So the Gemara says, if Megillah Soita needs Ksiv L'Shmo, the Sefer Torah is not a Megillah. You can't cut out that Parsha from the Sefer Torah and use it for Megillah Soita because it wasn't written L'Shmo. So if you can't use it anyway, so it's not called Parsha Soita. So it doesn't have to be written with ink that's Yochel Himachas. But if the din is like Parsha Soita does not need Ksiva L'Shma, and Machkin Lo Min HaTorah, you can take that section, cut it out from the Sefer Torah, and use it for the Shavuos HaSoita to erase the Parsha in the Maim HaMorim that she should drink it. So then the Parsha Soita in the Sefer Torah is called Parsha Soita, and Parsha Soita has to be written in Ksav Sheyochel Himachas. So he says he understands the Ritva. It was probably a takeoff from that Gemara, that the Dalet Parshas of Kaddish Vayikav Yachash Mavayam Shmoya, where they appear in the Chumash, are considered Parshas of Tefillin. Parshas of Tefillin Niksiva Kisidron. Not Tefillin and Mezuzah. Parshas of Tefillin and Mezuzah. Interesting. So that's what we had over here. Yesterday we were learning this Rabbeinu Yoinah. Rabbeinu says that the Parsha of Parsha Shema, the Parshas that the Torah requires have to be recited. Parsha Shema, Aram Yavirovi, Vidui Meiser, what else? Birchas Kohanim, Birchas Yamin Shmaracham. Those parshas have a special status. They're allowed to be recited Baal Peh, even if you're not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah understood in the Mishnah. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik understood in the Rabbeinu Yonah, how he read the Mishnah. Akor Mekam Yilach Lehipsid Kodem Akori Batoira. It's not just plain Odom HaKori BaTorah. It's considered Kriya Shema. It has a special status. He's not Yotzei the Mitzvah Kriya Shema. It's after the Zman. That's how the Mishnah says. If HaKori Mikam V'Yelach, if he missed the Zman and he says Kriya Shema later, so it says Lahifzit HaBrachas, why not Odom HaKori BaTorah? Even when you read this Parsha in the incorrect Zman and you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah, but it has a special status as Parsha Shema. Parsha Shema, you're allowed to say Baal Peh. And Parsha Shema enables you to recite Brichos Kriya Shema. You can't recite Brichos Kriya Shema without saying the Shema. And this whole pshat was against the Mechaber, because the Mechaber says it's an Eitz HaTeiva, that you should say the Parshias. And when you miss the Zman, so you said, so we pass on the Hifzid HaBrochas, that's how the Gemara interprets, the Hifzid HaBrochas, the Gemara, the next daf before the Mishnah, the bottom of Yunam and Beis. So the reason why Hifzid HaBrachas is because when he says Kriya Shema Shalom Bizmano, it still has the status of Parsha Shema. It's not the Ritva in the Gemara and Erev, and that's about Parsha Biksab, that it's called Parsha Tefillin and it's called Parsha Soita. Here we're talking about reciting Parsha. It has a Chaloshem Parsha's Kriya Shema, even though you're not being Yotzei Kriya Shema at the time that you're reciting it. So that was the Rabbeinu Yonah, very interesting. Then we didn't discuss the top Tosfos on Tes and Beis. Betchel Shabbat the Lavan Shabbat, so Tosis quotes the Gemara Menachas Mem Gimel. Well, Risha Moshe is Chartam is Kamitz Hashem. Rei Mitzvah Zu. Look at the Tzitzis. Shabbat Tolui Mitzvah Acheres. Shabbat Tluya Mitzvah Acheres. Risha Moshe. Look at the Chutei Tzitzis is Chartam is Kamitz Hashem. You'll know. Ben Tchelus Le Lavan. You'll know that it's a Giyazman Kriyashma. So Tosis writes that you have Shnei Chutei Lavan and Shnei Chutei Tchelus. So someone mentioned this morning, we were talking about Smanish, that's a big machloikas, how many chutim are trelas. The Rambam understands that half a chut is trelas, one out of eight. The Rabbi says, no, one out of four, one long chut is trelas. And the Rashi and Tosfos and Menachas understand that it's two and two. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, suggests that maybe it's a machloikas hatanoim. Okay, could be. Whatever you're going to do, you can't satisfy all the opinions over here. You have to, if you have trelas, so you have to either do like Tosis over here, that is two and two, or like the Rambam, or like the Ravid. You have to take a stand. So in Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that's quoted is Tosis, that it's two and two. They don't quote the Rambam, and they don't quote the Ravid. And for many centuries, we have been following the Shitas Balei HaTosis, even though the trelas got lost centuries ago in the days of the Gaonim. But still, there are dinim in the Shulchan Aruch that are based on the assumption that it's two and two. So one din is the Mechaber quotes a Tosis from Menachas. There's a din of Gardume. Gardume means if when you tied the tzitzis on the beged and had the right length. What is the right length? So the Gemara says four agudlan. The Gemara says the tzitzis should be four agudlan. Four agudlan is less than 4 inches. Then the Gemara has that the Hidur mitzvah is that it should be 1/3 wound around and 2/3 loose. So Tosfos says two pshatim, there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe the wound around part should be 4 inches and the loose part should be 8. So that's what we usually assume, that it should be 12 agudim. From the beginning of the Chutei Tzitzis to the bottom, it should be 12 agudim. The top part that's wound around should be 4 agudlin, and the onaf, the loose part, should be 8 agudlin. And Meikar Adin, we really don't pass like that. That's what everybody's machmel like. Meikar Adin, we say that you only wind around a tiny little bit, and the whole tzitzis only has to be 4 agudlin. And 2/3 of that should be onaf, loose, and 1/3 should be wound around. So that's when you tie the tzitzis l'chatchila. So let's say I tied the tzitzis on the beged and had the correct length. After wearing the tzitzis for a long time, one of the chutim ripped, so it's no longer the correct length that it's supposed to be. So that's called gardume tzitzis. Gardume means originally at the time that I tied it on the beged, it had the right shear, had the proper shear, and then it got torn later, so it doesn't have the correct shear. The Gemara says that it's okay, as long as at the time that you tied it initially you had the correct length, so it remains kosher. So the Rabbi Natan interprets in the Gemara, and this is quoted in the Mechaber, in Hilchos Tzitzis, that it's only kosher, that's how simple reading in the Gemara, it's only kosher if you have, there are two parts to the tzitzis. There are two chutim atcheles and two chutim alavon. So if one of them is shalem, if the two lavons have the correct length, it still has yud beis agudlan. And one or both of the trelas got ripped, or the two trelas have the correct length. That unit is sholem. And the other unit is gardum, and the other unit is ripped, so then it's kosher. But if you have one lovon got ripped and one trelas got ripped, so then it's not kosher. Because you have to have, there are two units to the tzitzis, the trelas and the lovon. This is two and that's two. And you have to have one unit should be sholem, then you make all the gardume on the other one. So the Shulchan Aruch is working like the Rabbi Natan. So you can say, well, that's lechumre. They quoted the Rabbi Natan lechumre. Doesn't necessarily mean that you can be maker like the Rabbi Natan. And maybe they're never really paskin like the Rabbi Natan. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that even Bizman Hazeh, for many centuries, no one had any trelas. You only had lavan. So two out of the chutim that you have, so you have four lavan. So Tosfos there, Menachas, has two opinions. There's a machlokes hatanaim whether trelas makevus as a lov. According to the Tana Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, trelas makevus as a lov. If you don't have trelas, there's no kiyum mitzvah. The Balamor and Perek Bamem Adlikin paskins like Rebbe. Balamor paskins that trelas makevus as a lov. So the Ramban writes, Balamor lived in Provence in southern France. He learned Bacharusa with the Ravid. They learned by the Ravid Balo Eshkol. And the Ravid Balo Hasoges married the daughter of the Ravid Balo Eshkol. The Ravid son-in-law was the Ravid. That's what the Shach writes in the Ardea. Sometimes there's a stira in the Poskim. They quote the Ravid saying one thing. They quote the Ravid saying another thing. So, Lehevi Yadua, they're two different Ravids. One was the father-in-law who wrote the Eshkol, one was the son-in-law. There was a third Ravid also who wrote a history book, but they never quote him on halacha issues. He wrote, what did he write? Forgot the name. They always quoted, he has all the Baba Mises. He has all the Baba Mises the Ravid has in his history book that are not reliable. So the Ramban lived in Spain. So he didn't live in Provence, but he says we heard long distance that the Balamor never what's it is. Balamor lived before the Ramban. He lived in a different country, but he says Kibalna Medusa, we heard that the Balamor never what's it is because he passed in Trelas, Makevas, and Saloven. So since they didn't have Trelas, so it's a waste of time to put on tzitzis. You're not going to have Trelas, so you're not yet see anything. But we don't paskan like that, Balamor. We paskan like the Shitas Chachamim on the first daf in Perakat Trelas, that Trelas is not Merkevus Saloban. So if Trelas is not Merkevus Saloban, so how many strings do you need? So Taisis, the first Taisis in Perakat Trelas, has two opinions. One opinion, you only need two white strings. You don't have the two blue strings. Nish is Nish. All you need is two white strings. Fold them up, you got four strings. And the common practice is like the other opinion in Taisis. No, Trelas ain't Merkevus Saloban. But you still have to have four strings. Two are keneged the trelis and two are keneged the lovin. You still need four strings. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that even for many generations they didn't have any trelis, but they still needed four strings. So if any two strings rip, so I say it's okay, I have two strings that are shleimim, so I have one unit to shalim. I have one whole unit to shalim, and the other unit, there are two units. Two is lovin and two is keneged the trelis. So you have to have one unit should be shalom, then gardume on the other one is acceptable. But if three out of the four long strings tour, so you don't have one whole unit shalom, so then the whole tzitz is going to be possible. So we have been choshish for this Rabbeinu Tam, all the generation will choshish Rabbeinu Tam. This Rabbeinu Tam is based on his assumption that it's two and two. But more than that, the Mishnah Brurah quotes from the Malbim. The Malbim wrote the Sefer on Shulchan Aruch called Artzis Achaim. The Malbim used to be a major Poisek. And then after something happened, and he left the Halacha and he went into Tanakh. They say that Soloveitchik told over this story, others tell over, it's probably printed somewhere, that as a young man, he went to the Chasam Sefer to get a Haskama. On his Sefer Artzis Achaim. Artzis Achaim is on the beginning of Aruch Chaim. Till he ended Hilchas Tefillin, Hilchas Tzitzis, Hilchas Tefillin, I think. So he came, I think the Chasam Sefer Gemah has come. So he was there over Shabbos and they were speaking and learning. And on Matzoi Shabbos, they didn't have any lights there. So the whole Shabbos in Shul, he was sitting next to the Chasam Sefer's seat. On Matzoi Shabbos, he came to Shul to Davmar, so it was pitch black in the Shul. So he said, by mistake, he sat down in the Chasam Sefer's seat. Because he was a little absent-minded, and it was dark, he couldn't see. So somebody came over, they didn't know who he was, said, hey, young man, you're sitting in the rabbi's seat. Get up. It's not Derech Eretz. So the Chasam Sofer came in, and he said, let him stay there. It's okay, let him stay there. So when he woke up, when he realized what happened, so he took it as a curse. Let him stay there, let him stay on the Amadrega of learning. So they say that from that time on, he didn't advance in Psak Halacha anymore, and then he went into Tanakh. And everything that he wrote in Tanakh was after. And before, he used to be one of the major poskim. He was considered one of the major poskim of the generation. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes every so often from the Sefer Artzis Achaim. So he quotes the Artzis Achaim like this. The din is, let's say you have a silk garment, an arba kamfis made from silk, or made from cotton. So the chutei tzitzis can be either silk or cotton, if it's a cotton beged. Akonaf min akonaf, the chutim could be the min of the begin, or if it's tzemer, so tzemer or pishtam apochim b'chol aminim. We have chutei tzitzit. We don't use chutim of pishtan of linen, but let's say woolen strings. So woolen strings are acceptable whether the garment is wool or silk or cotton, does make a difference. and cotton strings are unacceptable, or silk strings are unacceptable, if the garment is silk, or if the garment is cotton. So then cotton strings would be good. So what if you have some of the strings are going to be silk, and some of the strings, let's say it's a silk garment. Some of the strings, a lot of conservative Jews wear silk talisim. So let's say some of the chute hatzitzis are silk, and some of the chute hatzitzis are tzemer. Is that acceptable? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Malbim. Each unit should be one. So you can have two silk chutim in a silk garment, and two should be wool. But to have three in one, that will be possible. Because they're two different units. They're two different units. Two chutim are laban, two chutim are keneged tcheles, even though we don't have tcheles. So two chutim are keneged the tcheles. And each unit should be bishlei muso. So each, the both of the same unit can either be wool, or the both can be silk. But you can't have three in one. Because then one of the units is half this and half that. So that's lahokel. He's make a lover there like the Rabbi Natam, that it's two and two. And then there are more Mishnah Berurahs where he assumes halacha l'maaseh, so the din is like the Rabbi Natam. Mishnah Berurah never quotes the other opinions at all, that it's the Rambam, that it's one out of eight, or the Rabbi that's one out of four. The only shita that he quotes is this Rabbi Natam shita, Rashi and Rabbi Natam, that it's two and two. So that's what we learned yesterday. The different opinions in the Mishnah, when does the Zman Kriyashma begin? One talent said, Mishayaka mitcheles lelovan, mitcheles shebo, lelovan shebo. So Tosfos says, tcheles shebo, lelovan shebo, dechutei hatzitzis. Because the Gemara says there, Menaches, urisa maisoi, shesi tzitzis, ischata miskamitza Hashem, rei mitzuzu, sheteluya bo mitzvah acheres. That when you look at the chutei hatzitzis and you see the difference between tcheles and lelovan, then you know that it's Yigiyah Zman Kriyashma. Then Gemara speaks about the significance of being masmach ulo l'tvila. Where are we? Masmach ulo l'tvila. Ein anizik kalayim. The added tradition, kalasem ulo l'tvila anizik kalayim. So the Gemara says, it's not true. Rav Zera says, I was once masmach gula tefila. And that day, I was penalized by the government and I had to pay a fortune of money. So the Gemara says, so what's so terrible about that? That's called nizuk. That's kedai. There's a mitzvah. There's an inyan of kovod abrius. There's a whole sugya later. It says on the side, come on, you test on the base. There's a mitzvah of kavod abrius. Which mitzvah? There were 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Which mitzvah in the 613 is the mitzvah of kavod abrius? So the way we pass in halacha, that's the mitzvah of lo yitamo in the beginning of Parshas Emor. There's a machlokes. The Gemara has in Soitan Dav Gimel Amanal machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. But a lo yitam is a rishus. A lo yitam is a chayva. So Rabbi Shmuel says lo yitam is a rishus. The coin is not allowed to be mitam in the mason unless it's one of the seven relatives. The coin is permitted to go to the funeral if he wants. If he does want, he doesn't have to. And we don't pass on like Rabbi Shmuel, we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Lo yitam is a chayva. That's what Tosfos asks. There are three cases where there's machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. One is lo yitam, and one is le'ol mahem tavoidu. Rabbi Akiva holds that it's an iser. If you're free and have a k'naini, and every day you're allowed to free, but you're not allowed to free and have a k'naini. So Rabbi Akiva holds that l'olam hem tavod is an iser essay, and Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus. If you don't want to, you don't have to let the Evid k'naini go free b'sheish or b'yoyvel, but if you want to, you can let him go free whenever you want. There's no iser at all. It's a rishus. If you want to, l'olam hem tavod. And the third machlokes is in Saita. It says, Rabbi Akiva holds that it's a chayva. If the husband is suspicious that there's something's going on with his wife, she's having an affair with someone else, the husband should warn her. It's a chayva. He has to warn her. And Rabbi Shmuel thinks that it's a rishus. It's not a chayva. So Tosfos asks, the Gemara says in the end of Makkos that there's 613 mitzvahs. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you have three more mitzvahs of the 616. Or the 613 includes the three. So Rabbi Shmuel has 613. He has 610. Someone's going to have three mitzvahs more than somebody else. So that's what the Rishonim work on that kasha. How does this jive? How can there be a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel whether these three mitzvahs are chayva or rishus? Anyway, we pass like Rabbi Akiva that lo yitama is a chayva. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel had the machlekes after the churban abayis. So the Gemara says already bisman abayis. This was a machlekes generations before. A lot of the issues were machlekes in generation after generation. And the Gemara quotes Achres Abay Barabbah had a machlekes by Yerushalayim Midas. It was probably a machlekes generation after generation. Tanoim Amoraim, and they also disagreed. So the Gemara said this machlekes, but the loyitama is the koyim uchayiv to be mitami to the Zayin Krem. This was a machlekes bizman amigdosh, and there was a koyim who lost his wife and he didn't want to be mitame because it was coming up Erev Pesach. He wanted to bring the korban Pesach. V'timu echav akoyim bal korcha. The Gemara says in the end of Zvochim. Round of Kufalov or so. That they were metami him balkarcha because the Psak HaMekubal before Rabbi Kiva was born. Psak HaMekubal was the Loyitama is a chayva. So what's the chi of Loyitama? That's the chi of Kavar Abiyas. You even have to show Kavar Abiyas for a dead person. Kavar Chaim or Kavar Achaim. But there's even a din of Kavar Amesim. It doesn't mean only Kavar Amesim. It means even Kavar Amesim. So that is the mocker for the institution of Kavar Abiyas. And if you test, on the base, the Gemara has a whole sugya. To what extent do we consider the significance of Kavod Rabbis? The Gemara says, "Gadol Kavod Rabbis shedecha lo sesa shabbat Torah." That Kavod Rabbis is decha adin de rabbanon. When there's a conflict between Kavod Rabbis and observance of adin de rabbanon, so you're allowed to violate adin de rabbanon. Kavod Rabbis is relevant. There's six different kulas mishum Kavod Rabbis. Mamayna, there's one kula. You learn through the whole sugya. We'll soon be there. It's on your testament base. So hold your breath and we'll soon get there. Major chubis then. Rabbi Yehuda has chubis, other poskim have chubis, halacha lemaisa about kavod habris. So the significance of kavod habris is that's the mitzvah of lo yitama. To show kavod achaim, to show kavod hameisim, to show kavod habris to the different people, kavod to a different extent. It's not just kavod everybody equal. Kavod hamelech is more significant than stam kavod habris another person. So the Gemara says you have to show kavod hamalchus. You have to show kavod hamalchus, and the Gemara says, where's the Gemara? Yutes on base. Medalgim hayino. Where's the Gemara? Medalgim hayino al gabi aron is here. It is about 15 lines from the top of Yutes on base. The line begins with the words Toshma. The Rosh Hashanah is Toshma. Domar Ablezer Reb Tzadik. Then you have a tiny letter Vav from the Ayin Mishpat. Medalgam Hayino Al Gabi Aron Shal Mason. If you have a Mason in Oron, so usually there's going to be at least Bismarck. There's going to be the Mason is lying in the Oron. There's going to be a Pasech Tefach of empty space in between the top. The let's say the Mason has a big fat belly or his nose is up on top. So between the tippy top of the Mason and the bottom of the lid of the coffin, usually there's going to be a tefach of empty space. So because there's a tefach of empty space, the Gemara says that chotzitz b'fnei atumah min ha-Torah, so a kohen is permitted to jump on top of the aron, because it's not metami. The rabbanon they made a gzera, even though rov aronis yesh lam pesach tefach, but there's a miut aronis that don't have a pesach tefach. So they made a gzera, the rabbanon, that even if your particular aron of this particular mace happens to have a tefach of empty space between the top of the mace and the bottom of the lid. So in the Rabbanim we say it's still, if you jump on top, you're metami. So Kohanim are not allowed to jump on top of Aronis. But for the purpose of fulfilling Kavod Habrias, you're allowed to violate it in the Rabbanim. So what's an example of Kavod Habrias? And Gemara says, Medalgam Hayinu Agabi Aronis Shal Mason Likras Malcha Yisrael. In order to show Kavod to the Malchus, there are going to be thousands of people, tens of thousands of people there anyway. But it's better, it's nicer if you have 10,001 people as opposed to 10,000 people. So I want to go also. It should be a slightly bigger crowd, one more person. So Mishum Kavod HaMalchus, that's also Kavod HaBrias. It's interesting. Kavod HaBrias doesn't only mean, the Gemara talks about Kavod HaBrias, the guy's in the Beis HaKisei on Shabbos, he has nothing to wipe himself off with. He's going to smell. So that's an issue, Kavod HaBrias. something like that. Kavod Rabbi is the person is going to be humiliated. Let's say a person is walking in the street and realizes his clothing have shatness, so he has to take off the clothes. He's going to be walking in his underwear if he has underwear. His mother probably didn't have any underwear. So he's going to walk undressed in the street in front of all the people. Some people don't care. Other people will care. He's going to be humiliated. So that's one kind of Kavod Rabbi. That's a bizayon gadol. This is not such a bizayon gadol for the melech. He has 10,000 people anyway. It's nicer if you have 10,001 people. So this is a different degrees of kavod habiyus. And still the Gemara says, since the whole iser tumas kohanim to jump on top and dalgam agabi aroinus is only an iser de rabbanon, because ben atori have a right to go basa roiv aroinus have a beser tefach. So therefore it's chaytzitz b'fnei atuma. So since the whole Isa for the Kohanim to jump on top is only the Rabbanon, so for the purpose of fulfilling Kavod Abrius, to give more Kavod to the Melech, so that's permissible. Yeah, okay, so there's a mitzvah to show Kavod to the Malchi Yisrael. How do you know? The Gemara says, Same Tosim Alecha Melech, the Kefaloshim, Shitehei Eimoso Olecha. Same Tosim, the Kefaloshim means Shitehei Eimoso. Eimoso means like Moira Aviyim, there's Kibbut Aviyim and there's Moira Aviyim. Shitei Masalacha means extreme kavod. You have to show extreme kavod for the melech. So I understand why you're permitted to violate the Yisad Rabbanon of Dagam Agabi Harainus in order to be mechabed the melech. Kavod Rabbi says Decha the Rabbanon. It's fine, but Hakam says even Malchi Umas Oilam to jump on top of the Harainus. So the Gemara says, below the cross, Malchi Yisrael Belvad Amru, not only because there's a mitzvah, same tosh mishatei masa alecha, there's extreme kavod is required, el afilu the cross Malchi Akum, even Malchi Yumas Oilam, there's no mitzvah. So there's a mitzvah of kavod on Malchus. The Gemara has a lashon, shim yizke yavchen, he should live so long to be mekabel pnei Moshiach Zidkein, and Moshiach will be the Melech HaMoshiach, so he'll see the difference between kavod Malchi Yumas Oilam and kavod Yisrael. It's also an aspect of kavod HaMelech. The Gemara presents it as if there isn't really a mitzvah of kavod HaMalchus for the goyim shemalochim. It's just a yitzke yapchin. It'll turn out to, in the end, it'll turn out to be a kavod for the Melech HaMashiach. The Gemara presents it as if kavod HaMalchi Yom HaSolem per se is not a mitzvah. That's a pesach shayla. That's a shayla. It says when Paro had his dreams and he didn't know how to interpret the dreams and they were giving interpretations, then Paisaraisim Lafari, he didn't like the interpretations that they gave. So the Sara Mashkim told him, ooh, there's a guy in prison who interpreted my dreams. He's fantastic. Maybe I should bring him. So he bring him and it says, Vaygalach, Vaychalev Sim Loisov. Yosef Hatzadik was in prison for a couple of years. So he gave him a haircut. He had a prisoner's outfit with the black bars on it. That's not the way you go to visit the melech. So they gave him a nice begodim, and then he came in and he interpreted the king's dreams. So the Mefarshim are bothered with Akasha that based on the Shir Shal Yom for Thursday, that's the Shir Shal Yom for Rosh Hashanah. So it says in the Midrashim that Yosef was freed on Rosh Hashanah. So Makshim Hoylam, the Obis fulfilled Kala Tarakula Chalay Nitno. So why did he shave on Rosh Hashanah? By Galach. It doesn't say Had Amir Yaakov. It says by Galach. He himself shaved. How is that permissible? So the Chassam Sofer has the Droshes on Chumash, different editions of Droshes. Some of them he wrote himself, and some with the Talmidim wrote over Droshes. The Talmidim used to eat by the Balabatim. They fled Ness and Teg. They didn't have a cafeteria with a Talmidim, eh? So they used to eat by different Balabatim. So they had to have the Torah to say on Shabbos for to entertain the Balabatim. So the Chassam Sofer used to tell them every week, the Torah, to tell over to the Balabatim. So those are also printed. The Talmidim wrote up those the Torah. The Chassam Sofer wrote up his own drushes. The Talmidim wrote up the drushes that he told them to say to entertain the Balabatim. So one of the collections of the Talmidim, so they have this drasha that we already learned in the Gemara. We had the Nitziv explained in the Gemara that if a person has a minik toiv, so he's not. If a person has a minik toiv, horogalov lebeis on Knesses, and one day he doesn't come, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask, how come he's not here? Where is he? So if he went to Dvar Mitzvah, is okay. If he went with Dvar Shus, then he's going to be punished. So then Exib explained in the Gemara. Where was that Gemara? Forgot already. So then Exib, in his Chubas, explained in the Gemara. We have Bob on the base. The top of Bob on the base. The top line. Kol HaRogel Ovi Reis HaKnes Ulai Bo Yimechon. Kodesh Baruch Mashal Bo. Yibachem Yirei Hashem. Shehalach HaShechem. He didn't show up. Plenty didn't show up. In the Dvar Mitzvah Halach Nogala, it's okay. What's the issue? So then it's explained. HaRogel Ovi. He, one who's in the habit of, one who's in the practice of doing a Hanoga Teiva, so it's binding Mitam Nedem Mid Rabban. A Minik Teiva. It's binding Mitam Nedem Mid Rabban. So whenever there's a minik type that's in conflict with the real din, so the real din wins. But with Dvar Shus, then you have to observe the minik type. So that's what the Chassam Sofer said. Look, the Ovis Kima Kalot Harku Achulay Nitna, that was a Hanhog HaTayva, they weren't Mechuyiv to. It was Kodim Atm Torah. So that's nice. But Kovet HaMalchus, that's a real din. Kovet HaMalchus is part of the Sheva Mitzvah B'Nanar Chavdinim. After that's what the Chassam Sofer assumes. You have to observe the din of the Malchus and you have to show Kovet to the Malchus. So since there was a conflict between the Minik Toiv of observing Rosh Hashanah, Kodem Matan Torah and the real din of Kovet HaMalchus, so Kovet HaMalchus takes precedence, so he gave himself a shave. He made his own shave on Rosh Hashanah because under the circumstance you have to show Kovet HaMalchus. They say the Chassam Sofer was a big captain on Kovet HaMalchus. He's always very makbid. Yeah, you got to say a bracha when you see a melech. Yeah. So he's supposed to show kovet. Yeah, they have in their biography. The official biography is called the Chutam Shulosh. That was has the biography of Rabbi Kiveger, who was the father-in-law of the Chassam Sofer, and then the Chassam Sofer, the second generation, the Ksav Sofer. So this official biography was written by one of the sons of the Ksav Sofer. So he has all the family stories there. There's someone else from the family who claims that they're Baba Mises there also, that they're not reliable. But others assume that it's authentic. So they have a story there that at one time, two Balabatim, after the Chassam Sofer was ready, rabbi in Presburg for many years in Hungary, he himself was a Yekke, he wasn't a Hungarian. He was born in Frankfurt. He always signs all of his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotmi Frankfurt. He always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. So he had a din Torah between two Balabatim, about some kind of merchandise, and he passed him whatever, but I'm like, Shaila, whether the Balabas has to pay for faulty merchandise. So he gave a psak, and he wrote down the psak. So it turned out that the merchandise that they were fighting about was brought into the city illegally, and they never paid tax, import tax. And they assumed that some sofer was encouraging the Balabatim. He signs a psak. And he doesn't say anything about the fact that it was Shaloi Kedin, that it was against Dinan Malchusa. So they wanted to put him in prison also. They caught the Balabas. They wanted to put the rabbi in prison because he should have told the Balabas to be not allowed. So Chassam Sofer said he didn't even know what the merchandise was. He just knew there was an issue of Mekachtos and he gave up Sak, so they didn't believe him. So the grandson writes in the Sefer Chutam Shulish in the biography that in every courthouse they always have a policeman to make sure that nobody starts any riot in the courthouse. So the policeman said, Your Honor, could you give me permission to say a few words? Never happened before. The policeman never say boo. So the judge was stunned. So he said, Yeah, what do you have to say? So he said, I want to ask the rabbi one question. So he said, Ask him. So he asked him, Did you ever live in Rechnitz 30 years ago? So he said, Yeah, he lived there for a month. What happened was he was learning by Rav Nosson Adler in Frankfurt. Rav Nosson Adler recommended he should go to Rechnitz, this Elsass city in Germany, I don't know where Rechnitz is, to learn by the Ur Gadol. The Ur Gadol is a pilpil sefer on Psochen. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned the Ur Gadol, we were learning the Ur Chodosh, not the Ur Gadol, the Ur Chodosh, a pilpil sefer. We were learning Pesachim, Rav Soloveitchik said over Akashif on the Ur Chodesh, and he gave his teretz. So I thought it's Kedai, I bought the Sefer. That's the only thing I know from the Ur Chodesh. I never read anything else on this. It's all the Pilpul Sefer. Nobody, out of style, nobody even reads the Sefer today. So the Chassam Sofer recommended, the Rav Nosson Adler recommended to the Chassam Sofer as a teenager, he should go to Rechnitz and learn by the Ur Chodesh. So he was there for a month, and he didn't enjoy the Shurim at all, and he came back. And he felt so upset why the Rebbe wasted his time. And he had a grudge against the Rebbe. Why did he send me on a wild goose chase? I should go there to Rechnitz. Such a waste of time, he didn't enjoy the shiur. So 30 years later, that's what saved his life. Because the policeman asked him, did you ever live in Rechnitz? So he said, yes, a teenager, he lived there for a month. So he said, Your Honor, the man is innocent. It can't be that he would violate Dina de Malchusa, because as a young teenager, when he was a teenager, I was the policeman in front of the synagogue in Rechnitz, and all the other children would make fun of the government and make fun of the police, make fun of the establishment, and the only one who had their heretz for the policeman was this guy as a teenager. So I can't believe it. As a teenager, he would say every morning, good morning, officer, with such derech eretz, and now he's going to violate Dina Malchusa. It can't be. It must be he's telling the truth. And he didn't know that the merchandise was illegally brought into the city. So he was off the hook. So he understood why the Rebbe sent him to Rechnitz, to save his life later, and it didn't turn. Anyway, they say he was a big captain on Dina Malchusa, on Kovod HaMelech. You have to be Mechabed the Malchus, even the Malchiyum HaSoilom. The Gemara said, because in Yiske Yavchen, that sounds like it's basically the Kovod of the Melech HaMashiach, not so much Kovod of the Malchiyum HaSoilom. But some sefer assume that it's part of Dina the Malchusa Dina. You have to follow the law of the land, and you have to be Mechabed the Malchus also. You have to show Kovod for the Malchus. So that's what the Gemara says over here, that if you're Samech Gulafil, you won't be Nizek Kalayom. So Rabbi Zeir says, what do you mean? But I was Nizek. The government penalized. They had to pay money to the Malchus. So they told him, that's a big schus that you had, that you paid money to the Malchus. That's not considered Nizek. You have to show cover to the Malchus. You have to give, you have to pay your taxes. Sometimes you have to pay extra taxes. That's not a Hezek. Then the Gemara has, once in a while they had Amoraim who would travel to Eretz Yisrael, traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Most of the Amoraim who lived in Babel stayed in Babel, most of them lived in Eretz Yisrael stayed in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have frequent flyers then. They had very little communication. So on one occasion, Amalei Rabbi Loi Le'ula, one of the Amoraim is going, Ki'ailis Le'asam, he's going to Eretz Yisrael, going to Babel, whichever direction. He says, give regards to my brother in the presence of the whole yeshiva, because my brother is an Adam Godel. He's a big tzaddik, so be mechabed him. And how do you see that he's a big tzaddik? So he says, because on one occasion, Zimnach, on one occasion, it was Masel Gula. Tvila had a smile on his face all day long. The Torah says, we're all Masel Gula Tvila. What's the big tzidkis? So the Torah says, no, it means that he daven basikin. We have people that are seeking every day. There's a seeking minyan and Rosh Hashanah here. So what's the big deal? The Taisis says, no. Muhammad explains the Taisis. They didn't have clocks. So they didn't have the New York Times and it says what time the sun is going to rise today. They knew exactly how to arrange for Vasik, and they had a guess every day. So they put on the talis and tefillin when it was Mashiach HaShchader B'richik Dal HaAmis, when it started getting light, and then they were daven quickly. And 99 out of 100 times, or 999 out of 1,000 times, they would always mess up. Either they would say Kriya Shema after Hanetzach Hamo, or they would say Kriya Shema 5 minutes before Hanetzach Hamo, then they had to wait till they see the sun rising, and then they would say Shemon Esri, so that wouldn't be Smichas Gula Tefillah. On one occasion, hit the nail on the head, Bimikre, he davened, he said Kriya Shema, and then the sun rose right after he finished Kriya Shema, so without pausing at all, he was Mas Magula Tefillah with Vasikin. So that was, in the days of the Gemara, that was very rare. If you don't have the Naval Observatory calendar that tells you what time sunrise, and you don't have Bitzira for watch, so that's going to be once out of 1,000 times you're going to hit it right. Usually they didn't get it right. So that's what he said. His brother's an Adam Godel, and he's a big tzaddik, and he had a smile on his face all day long because he once davened Vasikin with Smichas Gula Tefillah. Then the Gemara raises the question we learned already, how can you have Smichas Gula Tefillah, but you say Hashem Svasa Tiftach before the Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara says Hashem Svasa Tiftach is only a mincha, because on Shacharis and Mari you want to have Smichas Gula Tefillah. Then the Gemara says, no, Rabashi Amar, on the first white line, Rabashi Amar, Afilu Teima Kulum, no, Hashem Svasa Tiftach goes on Shacharis, Mincha, Mari, goes on everything, Musaf, Nila, Kivin the Kavur, Rabbanan, Bitfilah, Kitfila Richter Damya. The same thing, Hashkivenus, Kigula Richter Damya. So we spoke already, there's a machlokes harishayim and what that means. And the Gel Halacha is on Erev Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Gemara says in the end of Yomer, when do you say the Vidui on Yom Kippur? In the Shemona Esrei, on Erev Yom Kippur by Mincha. The Gemara says, Yochad Oimra Achat Tfilosa. In the Shliach Tzibur Oimra Be'emtza Tfilosa. The Shliach Tzibur says in Chazaras HaShatz has the Vidui in the middle of the Brach Emtzois. That has the theme of Kedushas Hayom. So Tshuva and Vidui are part of the themes of Kedushas Hayom. But the Yochad Oimra Achat Filosa. So the Ravon says on that Gemara, what do you mean Achat Filosa? It means he finished the whole Shemona Esrei ready. And when he says the Vidui, it's like saying Alakai Nitzod Shani Merat. It's part of Tachnun and Achat Filosa. It's not an integral part of the Shemona Esrei. By the Chazaras HaShatz, it's an integral part of the Shemona Esrei, in the middle of the Bracha Emtzois, middle of the fourth Bracha. But when the Yochid Oimer Achat Tfilos means it's Tachnun and Achat Tfilos. So the Nafkamina is, let's say, he's davening slowly, and the Chazan is already up to Kedusha. So if I'm in the middle of Alakai Nitzod Shani Merat, the Chazan in the middle of up to Kedusha, so we paskin that you do answer Kadosh, 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 and Baruch. You do say, you do answer Kedusha. In the middle of Shemona Esrei, you don't answer Kedusha. The Gemara has later in Brochus, there's one opinion, and I'm a rhyme that in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you're allowed to be mafsik for Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. The Gemara says, no, we don't paskin like that. You're not allowed to be mafsik even for Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. But in Alakai Nitzor, that's not the text of the Shemona Esrei, that's Tatnun Machat Tfilosai. So you're permitted to answer Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. So there's a machlokes, only Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba, that's the most important taniya. And there was even one opinion that we don't accept, that you're allowed to say Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba in the middle of Tfilah Balachash. So that's the only thing you're allowed to answer in the middle of Alakai Nitzor, Shemir Tachnunim, or should you say no? So we pass on not only Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba, even Kadosh and Baruch also. Yimlach not, because Mikra Adin, Yimlach is only a minig. It's not really part of the Kedusha. The Kedusha is what the Malachim say. So the Malachim said Kadosh and Baruch. They didn't say Yimloch. Yimloch is at the end of Yimloch. Where is it? Tanakh? End of the Shiva Sayyam. No, Shem Elchim on the word. Yimloch Hashem Leonis and Tilim. It's not from the Malachim. So we paskin that in the middle of Tachnun and Machat Tfilah, so you're allowed to answer, and not only Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba, you're allowed to answer Baruch, you're allowed to answer Kadosh, 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 you're allowed to answer Baruch as well. So what about in the middle of Vidui? The Yochid is in the middle of saying Vidui, and the Chazan is ready up to Kedusha. Is the Yochid allowed to answer? So the Ravon says, yes, it's befamish in the Gemara. Yochid Omer Achat Tfilosa. The Gemara calls it Achat Tfilosa. So that's why Achreidim have a machloikas. When the Yochid says the Vidui, Achat Tfilosa, should he say, Ambrochas Hamisho Bashotmi, should he say, Yil Lerotzen Imrefi first? Or should he start right away with the Vidui, without staying Yil Lerotzen? So that's a Machlekes Achreinim. So the Pashta says the Machlekes Achreinim is exactly the Machlekes Arishainim. What does it mean when the Gemara says, Kitfila Richta, Kigula Richta Damya? Does it mean that Hashem Svasa Tiftach and Yil Lerotzen Imrefi is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei? So then you have to finish the Shemona Esrei, you have to finish the Amidah before you start saying the Vidui. The Vidui Aimra Achat Tfilosa. Or should you say no, that Hashem, Yil Lerotzen itself is like Tachnun and Achat Tfilosa. You say Yil Lerotzen Imrefi at the end of all the Trinas that you plan to say. So that's a Machlokes, the Rashba and the Ravid earlier in the Avdalit. So that's what we mentioned already. The Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom, that Nochan to be Machmed to say twice. That's where they have in a lot of Sidurim. It says after Avrochas Hamisal Bashan Yilaratan Imrefi. Then it says again at the end, after you finish the whole paragraph of Tachnun Amachtfels, then you say again Yilaratan Imrefi before you step back. So we're Machmed like that. And we're Machmed, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is the Chuvas Arashbon, the Chuvas Aritvo. Let's say the Yochid finished davening Sim Shalom, he finished davening Shemona Esrei, and the Chazan is up to Kedusha already. So if he's in the middle of a Lekai Nitzor, middle of Vidui, he's allowed to answer Kedusha. What if he just finished on Baruch Hashem B'Sal B'Shalom? He didn't say Yil Ratzon Emer Fi. Is he finished with the Shemona Esrei? So he's allowed to answer Kedusha. Or is he not yet finished? Because he didn't say Yil Ratzon. So the Mechaba doesn't quote the Machloikas, the Rajba and the Raiva. The Mechaba just quotes the Rajba, Chubas HaRajba, and the Chubas HaRitva. They both say the same thing. You're not finished with the Shemona Esrei yet till you say Yil Ratzon. You're not allowed to answer Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. You're still in the middle of the Amidah until you say Yil Ratzon. So we understand literally, Kigula Richto, and Tfilah Richta. The other Rishonim hold not so. So we said that's the Machlekes when it says before, you don't say Hashkiveinu, Vachaloyim Hashkiveinu on the fifth line from the top of Tesam and Aleph. But Hashkiveinu is Gula Richta. So what do you mean you leave out Hashkiveinu? So some Rishonim held Hashkiveinu is Gula Richta, and it just means you leave out the first two lines in Hashkiveinu. He starts with Sakneinu. It's a Dovim Olfanecha. And the other Rishonim said, no, Hashkiveinu is not a hefsek because kach tikno chachamim, but it's not to be taken literally, it's gula richta. The same, the tefillah richta is not to be taken literally, yuli ratzen is not part of the shmoneh esrei. That's the shot. Shadachasin say yuli ratzen. Shadachasin say Hashem sosat tifta. So the most of the poskim say the chasin should say. And many say the chasin should say out loud. You should say Hashem sosat tifta out loud. We mentioned it. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal that the Chazan should say Hashem Svaset Tivtach, but he should say Balachash. And later from right, where does it say that in the Kisvari? He says Faker. The meaning in the Beis HaKnesses Arizal in Svat is that the Chazan, many killers have like that. Chazan says Hashem Svaset Tivtach out loud, not Balachash. Rosh Hameh proves that from the Mashmos of the Rambam also that the Chazan says Hashem Svaset Tivtach out loud. It doesn't say Balachash like the Magen Avraham says. So this we discussed already. What does it mean? How do you take the Loshon HaMar Kigula Richta to Tfilah Richta? Take it literally. Or you say, no, whatever the Chachamim HaMasakin is not considered a hefsek. The Gemara says, Yehuda Ratzon Emrifi makes sense to say as an introduction to the Shmoneh Esrei or at the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei. Why do we decide to say it at the conclusion? So the Gemara says, because that's where it is in Tehillim. It's the end of chapter Yutes in Tehillim. So, but originally the Gemara says that there used to be, only 18 brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei. That's why we still call it Shmoneh Esrei. Then they added on the 19th bracha later. The Gemara presents it that there used to be 18 brachas, and the 19th bracha that was added on was V'lam al-Shidim. But V'lam al-Shidim was added on in the days of the Tanoim, and we still call it Shmoneh Esrei. That's very strange. It's already so many centuries since then. That's very strange, but that's the way the Gemara presents it. That the 19th bracha was introduced Bizman al-Tanoim already. And the Tosfos Rid has a comment. Where is it? I forgot it already where. Maybe on Megillah. I forgot it's not on Brochus. Tosfos Rid on one of the other Mesichtas has a comment. He says, no, there used to be eight. What he says is against the Gemara. He says, based on Yerushalmi, says there used to be 18 Brochus with V'lam al-Shinim. V'lam al-Shinim was introduced Bizman HaTanoim, so there always used to be 18 Brochus. The 19th bracha was, he quotes from a Tosefta from Yerushalmi like that, that you break up Yerushalayim Mircha Barachim Toshim and Semach Tavar Abdecha Meheres Hatzmich, you break it up into two. Because there are two aspects to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael, Ir HaBira. And number two, Yerushalayim is the Mokum of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why when you recite Birchas HaMosim, it says, V'chalta v'savata v'rachto as Hashem alakecha, al ho'eretz ha'teva ashen osan lach. So the Gemara, V'chalta v'savata v'rachto, you say, Azon, the first bracha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. Al ho'eretz, you have to say, Nodolcho, we thank you for giving us Eretz Yisrael. And then, ha'teva, al ho'eretz ha'teva, ha'teva is a reference to Yerushalayim, as the Pasuk describes Yerushalayim, ho'or ha'teva zera ha'lavonayim. Why is it called Levanon? Because Malbin Avin and Sam Shal Yisrael. When you bring Karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash, it wipes off your record. You have a clean record when you get a Kapar. So so you have to thank. When there used to be a Beis HaMikdash and there used to be a Malchus Beis David, so there was a Din Daraisa, the Gemara like that from the Psukim, that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says later, Perek Shlosh Shachlu, Moshe Rabbeinu composed Hazanah Sakol when the mon came down, and they made bread in the midbar. So he instituted Hazanah Sakol. Yeshua Ben Nun composed Noi Delechoy after they conquered Eretz Yisrael. It's already belonged to Avraham Avinu when he walked around the borders. It was kaina, but he didn't have it. The toil mamish, he wasn't balabatating over Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have control of Eretz Yisrael. So you only have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we have it, the toil mamish, after Yishuv Benun, after the Shebesh Kopshu, and they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So then Yishuv Benun composed Noed Lecha. We thank him for giving us Eretz Yisrael. And then Yerushalayim wasn't established as the capital till the days of David HaMelech. First he was the Melech in Hebron for 7 years, and then his Melech in Yerushalayim 33 years. Is that what it says, I think? The Sefer Shmuel. So David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the Ir Abir, as the capital. So the Gemara says later in Shlosh HaShoch, David HaMelech composed the first half of the third bracha. We thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. Then Shlomo HaMelech was Zeche, he built the Beis HaMikdash, he composed the second half of the third bracha, that we thank him for giving us the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech wanted to be Zeche to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then Navi told him, Dam Rab Shafachta, you killed too many people. He did a mitzvah, he killed all the Pelishtim, but Beis HaMikdash has to be a Makom Shalom, has to be peaceful. So the Navi told him, you're going to have a son, he's going to be peaceful, his name is going to be Shlomo, he's going to be Ishalom, and it's going to be Shalom and Eretz Yisrael during his lifetime. It's going to be peaceful, and he'll build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that the third bracha is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim, the two aspects. So David HaMelech thanked the Rebbe Shalom, he composed the first hymn. Thanks to Rebbe Shalom for establishing Yerushalayim as the capital. And Shlomo HaMelech composed the second half of the third bracha, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. Today we need to have Malchus Beis David, know that we have... nor do we have the Beis HaMikdash, so they changed the bracha. Rachemno al Malchus Beis David Mishrecha. Rachemno al Abayis al Galav HaKadosh Nikri Shimcha Olam. Have Rachmanis. So that's a question, is the third bracha still Men HaTorah Bizman HaZeh? Rachemno. The brachas are supposed to be there. I say, we thank you for giving us Malchus Beis David, we thank you for giving us Yerushalayim. Could be that the third bracha is only Midirabbanon Bizman HaZeh. So the Yerushalmi quotes a Tosefta, the Farish in the Tosefta, Farish in Yerushalmi. If you want, in the Shemoneh Esrei, we can include the two themes together in one bracha. If you want, you can separate them. Yerushalmi Yerucha Barachim Toshim Zitrus. Chisid Dabar Abdecham Behewa Lesoicha Tochim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild Yerushalayim, both aspects. Rebuild the Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash and to rebuild the Malchus Beis David. So the Yerushalmi Tosefta and the Yerushalmi say, if you want, you can say that everything in one bracha. If you want, you can separate and recite it in two different brachas. So we have a very difficult practice. We do both. We say Yerushalayim Yerucha Barachim Toshuv, and we mention Malchus Beis David there. Chisid Abar Abdach Meir V'Sach HaTochin. We say Bani Yerushalayim Nesei Estamach Abar Abdach Meir V'Satzmiach. You should send Melech HaMashiach. So that's difficult. Once you already said Malchus Beis David and Yerushalayim, why do we say another bracha as Tamach David Abdecha? So that's why many insist that you should leave, if you want to say 19 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei, you should leave out Chisid David Abdecha Meir L'Soch HaTochi, you should leave it out in the bracha of Yerushalayim Mircha. Otherwise he's saying the next bracha is totally repetitious, totally unnecessary. That's an issue. So the Tosfos Rit claims that that's why it's called Shemoneh Esrei. He says there used to be 17 brachas. It's against the Bavli. He says there used to be 17 brachas. When they added on Vela Malshinim, that's when they made it 18 brachas. And that's the Din, has 18 brachas. And the Eretz Dominic was that they didn't say a Samach David Avdech as a separate bracha. It was included in the Yerushalayim Mircha Berachim and Toshu. And he writes, the Tosfos Rit writes, that's why when you look in a regular Siddur, here in the yeshiva, they never say the piyutim in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz on Purim. The krovitz. In Shulchan Aruch, they call it the krovitz. They say the word krovitz in Russian, but it's called meaning it should be a holy tzaddikim. So what does it have to do with the piyutim? It means a holy tzaddikim, they sing piyutim. Okay. So the krovitz for Purim has a piyut. For each one of the 18 brachas, it doesn't have to stand up to Avir Abdu. Everybody has to kasha hatam. So the Tosfos Rit says, why? The Kroivitz, the Piyut, was composed in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't say 19 brachas, they only said 18 brachas. They combined together. It's enough in a Yerushalmi, enough in a Tosefta. If you want, you can combine together Yerushalayim Mircha with Hestemach Tavir Abdecha. These are two aspects of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the makam of the Beis HaMikdosh. So it became 19 brachas in Babel, because in Babel they chose to say it as to separate it. We say it's two different brachas. One bracha for Yerushalayim Yircha Berachim Toshuv, that the Beis HaMikdosh, the Shechina should come back to the Beis HaMikdosh, and Samach Tovir Avtach Meir Satzmich, we should have the Melech HaMashiach from the Malchus Beis David. So these are the two aspects of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Gemara says, that there are 18 brachas in the Shemana Esrei, and we say Yul HaRatzon at the end, because that pasuk Yul HaRatzon appears at the end of 18 prokim in Tehillim. So the Gemara said, but it's not true, at the end of Perek Yutes in Tehillim. So the Gemara says, prokim Aleph and Beis are really supposed to be one Perek. So if one and two are one Perek, so then it's at the end of chapter 18 in the Tehillim. How do you know Aleph and Beis are supposed to be one Perek? So the Gemara quotes the last line, going over to Daf Yudam and Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yechan called Pashiras Achaviv al David. He starts with the same word and he ends with the same word. So Tehillim begins Asher Hirsha Shal Halap Atas Rishayim. At the end of the second Perek, and Tehillim ends off Asher Kolchose Bo. So that was one of his favorite prokim. So he begins and ends with the same word Asher. That's the only Perek in all 150 prokim Tehillim that begins and ends with the same word Asher. But Tosis points out on Yudim Alap, there are other prokim that begin with the word Halulukah and end with the word Halulukah. So every Perek that begins and ends with the same word is because of his Chaviva Olam. So the Gemara says one example of the Chavivas was the first two chapters of Tehillim, that they really won in the same chapter. So Yul HaRatzon HaMefi appears by us at the end of chapter 19. It's really not true. It's really at the end of chapter 18. Because one and two are really one chapter in Tehillim. The Gemara has the famous story. There were a bunch of gangsters, Biryonei, Jewish gangsters who lived b'Shevibuse in the neighborhood of Rav Meir. And they used to annoy him very much. They probably stole from his apartment also. They used to aggravate everybody. So he used to pray, Habibay Rav Meir, Rachme Ilavayu. He used to pray they should drop dead. So Mrs. Rav Meir was a real character, Bruria. The Gemara says that she was unhappy why the rabbi said women shouldn't learn Torah. So there were no schools for women. So when the Talmidim came out from the yeshiva, she would ask him, what Mishnais did you learn today? So every Talmid came out, learned something else. So she learned 25 Prokem Mishnais every day. Every Talmid that came out had to tell her what they learned in the yeshiva. In the back of Brachas, they have... Where you have the riff? You have the Klolei HaShas somewhere here, no? Klolei HaTalmud. Here, Mova HaTalmud. In this Mova HaTalmud, they have a commentary on the side. So I forgot already where it is, but in the commentary he says, is a woman allowed to pass Kaneshah? He says, yeah. And Bruria, he quotes from some Tosefta somewhere, Bruria lived in the days of the Tanoim. She was a Tana, female Tana, and sometimes when she disagrees with the Chachamim, we pass on like her. She knew how to learn better than some of the other contemporaries of hers. Okay? If a woman knows how to paskin, so whoever... If a man does know how to paskin, he shouldn't paskin either. If a woman does know how to paskin, let her paskin. Okay. When Rav Soloveitchik's mother passed away, so his wife was on her deathbed at that time, so he didn't deliver a hesped. But his brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, delivered a husband. So he was talking about his mother. He told over different stories. So he told one story that on one occasion, a kohen came to ask his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, whether he's allowed to stay in his apartment because someone, a Jewish person, had died in the building. And there's a tumas ohel. So he wanted to know, based on the way the building was constructed, I think it was in America, I think it was in New York, based on the way the building was constructed, whether the tumor went from the apartment where the mace was to his apartment. So Moshe Soloveitchik didn't know what the din was. So Mrs. Rav Soloveitchik's mother, Mrs. Moshe Soloveitchik, knew Mishnais very well. So she took a Mishnayis and she mishtuf to the page in the Holos where it has this case, and she walked into the room and she put the Mishnayis in front of her husband and she tiptoed out. So he said, my mother would never say in front of my father what the din is, but she knew where the Mishnah was in the Holos. So she showed her husband and she walked out of the room. She knew Mishnayis. He says that once, Rabban Soloveitchik said that once at Brisk, there was a shaila in Hilchas Dreyfus. So the Dayan, Rab Simcha Zelig, said one way, and his mother thought not so. Rab Chaim said we should listen to Peshkin, that she knows better. That she knows Hilchas Dreyfus better than the Dayan. She was putting him out, she was a learned woman. She was a learned woman. I remember a bunch of people used to be a Rebbe here in the yeshiva. So he said Rabbi Soloveitchik used to stay by his mother. She used to live across the street. But she passed away. So Rabbi Brunschpiegel was once, he once walked Rabbi Soloveitchik come, and he was talking to him, because Brunschpiegel was a European, he spoke Yiddish. But at that time Rabbi Soloveitchik was only friendly with the Yiddish-speaking people. In later generations, no one spoke Yiddish. They had allow his students only, spoke English, to walk with him. So he walked into his home. So his mother was giving him mussar about a psak. He gave a kula, he gave a heter or something. His mother said, your father would never paskin like that. That was it. Father never paskin, then it's wrong. Yeah. Anyway, so here Bruria was a personality. So she disagreed with her husband. He said, you shouldn't daven that they should die. He was davening. He was praying the lemsu, that the Rishonim should die. Amalei Bruria Deviso, so his wife Bruria said to him, "My daita shem dechshiv itamach hatoim, the sinner should drop dead. No, miksiv choytim hatoim ksiv. You don't pray. It's not right that you should daven that they should die. That's not right. So it's usually assumed to mean itamu hatoim means the sins should end, but not that the sinners should die. You don't pray the sinners should die. You pray that there shouldn't be any sins anymore." That's usually assumed to be the Pasha Pshat. And the Nesivus has a famous interpretation. Nesivus has a sefer, Nachlas Yaakov, where he has a few tshuvas, then a couple of tshuvas by his grandson. And then they have drushes, on Chumash, and then they have Hespedim, and then they have Agarata, Birurim and Agarata. So this is one of the Birurim that have in the Nachlas Yaakov. He says, Chato is also a sinner, but there's a difference between a Chote and a Chato. A chote means a person who does averus. A chato is a person who's so involved in sin that he became the physical embodiment of sin. So we do sometimes pray that the sinner should drop dead, but we only pray on those like a molech, or like a Hitler, a person who became a physical embodiment of sin. So those people we pray that they should die. But we say v'la malshinim in the Shemani Asri. Pray v'la malshinim should drop dead. But we also pray that everybody should do tshuva. We pray that all the sinners should do tshuva. So on some sinners, so they read over from Sefer Yirmiyah, I think there's a chapter in Yirmiyah where the Navi Yirmiyah speaks about Kli Cheres and about Kli Mateches. So Kli Mateches is Mekabel Tumah, but you can't have Tvila in a mikveh. And Kli Cheres, if it's Mekabel Tumah, Ein Latar B'mikveh, the only way to be Matar is to Shvira. Kli Cheres Yishaver, so then once it's Nishbar, so you can't retain the Tumah anymore. So what's the difference between the Kli Cheres and the Kli Mateches? Kli Mateches was Mekabel Tumah. It has Tumah on it. So you can chase away the Tumah by being Tovel in a Mikveh. But if you have a Kli Cheres, you assume that the Tumah is so ingrained in the Kli that it just can't get out. Ein lo tar b'mikveh. So the Novi Yirmiyah uses the Lashonis, I forgot which chapter it is in Yirmiyah, he uses the Lashonis contrasting Kli Cheres to Kli Mateches. He's contrasting two types of Rishoyim. Some Rishoyim are like Kli Cheres, that the Rishis is so ingrained within them, there's no way to get it out. So we pray that they should drop dead. Yitamach HaToyim in Ha'aretz. Those sinners who have became the physical embodiment of sin, we pray that they should die. But then when you say, Hashem Avinu Sarasecha, B'losh Ram, we're asking everyone should do tshuva. We're asking all the sinners should do tshuva. That's on the Chotim. The Chotim should do tshuva. The HaToyim, those who are so ingrained, the Averis are so ingrained in them, so then we pray that they should die. So he said, you should rather daven that they should be chosen b'tshuva. So the Gemara says, he listened to his wife, he was smart. Boy, Rachmi Alavai, 100 b'tshuva, his prayers were answered. That's interesting. I can pray for someone else that he should be chayzer b'tshuva or prayers of Allah. People have b'chira chavshu, so you would think maybe if I have hirhuri tshuva, so habol etaher mesayinosa, if I'll pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me the ability to do tshuva. That's what we ask always in our service, make tshuva, Rabbi Makenu, give us the ability to do tshuva. Give us the ability to do tshuva. But here we say even someone else, Rav Meir Davins, on behalf of the Rishoyim, they didn't have any hirhuri tshuva. He prays to the Baruch Hu, his prayers are answered, even though they have b'chira chavshus. The prayers of Rav Meir are answered, and the Rishoyim achoyzeh b'tshuva. It's interesting that there is such a thing. One would have thought that it's in contradiction to the principle of b'chira chavshus. It's not. Rav says it's not. I can pray that someone else should have hirhuri tshuva, and he should be chayzeh b'tshuva. The Gemara has a very enigmatic agadata hahutzduki met up. Amalah hahutzduki lebruria. We told the first story about Bruria. So tell the second story. Hutzduki asks, "What do you say, Rani Akara lo yolodo?" So it sounds. So the simple reading of Rani Akara lo yolodo ki Rabbi Menashe Mimamibnei Bula Amar Hashem. The pasuk says that Eretz Yisrael is like an akara, that it doesn't have any children. The Jewish people are the children. We should all be living in Eretz Yisrael, and there was nobody there for so many years. There was a Golus. Now, after 1948, everybody's coming back. There's a Kibbutz Golus. But for so many centuries, Eretz Yisrael was like an Akara. So the Pashup Chatan Pasik, Rani Akara, the woman who was Lo Yolada, should rejoice because you're going to have more children than the other woman. Kirabim B'nei Shemimah, the Shomimah is Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael than B'nei Bula. They're going to have a bigger population than in other countries where they never suffered, they never wanted to go. That's the Pashup Pshat. So the Tzeduki confronted Bruria as if the Pasuk reads, it's such a strange interpretation, Rani Akara, she should rejoice because Lo Yalodah. She should rejoice over the fact that she is on Akara, that she never had any children. So it doesn't make any sense. So she tells him, you read the pasuk wrong, Rani Akara Lo Yolada, because Kirabim Midai Shemimah, but she says, your pshat is also correct. We rejoice over the fact, Shalo Yolda Banim L'Gehenim Kava Seichel. So she's right there going with his pshat. Rani Akara Lo Yolada, the Akara, the Jewish nation, should rejoice over the fact that we don't have so many apikursim, like by the Umasodim. So why are they both giving this funny pshat? That's not the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk. That's what the first objection that Bruria gave was. That's not what the Rani Akara, because Kirabim B'nei Shemimah, because the Akara is no longer going to be an Akara. But she interprets the Pasuk the way that Apikoris interpreted the wrong way. So what are they harping on this incorrect interpretation? Such a strange. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole drasha on this. He used to give shiurim for the Balabatim. It took over 10 years. He only gave a shiur once a week, every Tuesday night. Yeah, the for the Balabatim. So when he learned this Gemara, this is one of the more famous drushes that he gave when he learned the Gemara. So he said that there was a time in history that there was a possibility of the Jewish religion becoming the major religion of the world. That I'm not sure. Maybe after the Churban Bayis Sheni, like today. They write in the papers that from the non-Jews who convert, there's a higher percentage of Germans who are converting to Judaism than the percentage of Germans in the world population. It doesn't. There are Chinese, there are Japanese, there are Spanish and Italian non-Jews. There are non-Jews from every nationality are converting to become Jewish, and the Germans who are converting is in a higher percentage than the German nation is in the world population. How do you understand that? So they explain, because these Germans want to understand, why did their parents and their grandparents kill all the Jews? What did the Germans have against the Jewish religion? So they look into Judaism, they study it, they go to Israel for a year, and then they fall in love with Israel, they fall in love with the Jewish religion. So many of them are converting because their interest was they became interested in studying about the Jewish people because of the tragedy that occurred, because their parents and their grandparents were the ones who killed all the Jews. So they become interested, and then they fall in love with Judaism. So apparently this happened after the Churban Bayis Sheni as well, that many Romans were trying to figure out why did their parents and their grandparents kill all the Jews in Eretz Yehuda? Why did they kill all the Jews? So you have in the Gemara, there were so many Gerim. Then Bag Bagim and Hey Hey, Tosfos writes in the end of the first Perek in the Chagiga that they were Gerim. Then Bag Bagim, then Hey Hey, and there were so many Gerim, that's what the Rav Soloveitchik quoted from, there's a history book by Yitzchak Isaac Halevi. I think he was somehow related to the Soloveitchik family, so his history book was assumed to be kosher. He was one of the founders of the Aguda organization, the Aguda movement. So in his history book he says, what do you say, Geiri HaTzedik? So he says, there was such a big movement after the Churban Bayit Sheni, such a big movement of Geiri HaTzedik, it was like there was a whole chunk of people who were Geiri HaTzedik. There were many Geirim. And you find Mishnayos and Braises that Rabbi Akiva had a lot of Talmidim who were Geirim. There were many Geirim at that time. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, I think, must have been quoting from Halevi that there was a time, at that time in Jewish history, right after, soon after the Churban Bayit Sheni, there was a possibility that the Jewish religion would become the major religion in the whole wide world. So Rav Soloveitchik said that it was a blessing that it didn't happen, because he gave a mashal from himself. He said when he gives a public shiur, he used to give a Yahrzeit drasha, so you had hundreds of people would come, they would fly in from out of town to attend the Yahrzeit drasha. Or he used to give a drasha in Aseret Tshuva, the king's Tshuva drasha, so people came from all over. So he said whenever he gives a drasha, and there are hundreds of people, so he always has to water it down. He has to lower it down to the level that everybody should be able to understand. He always gave a drasha, everyone, he wanted everyone to understand. But he said, when he teaches in the yeshiva, he has 25 students in his class. He always used to have a small class, 25 students. The last couple of years of his life, all the students were afraid he may not come next year. He may have to stop giving shiur. So they want to catch the last year that he's going to give shiur. He had 100 students in his class. But that was irregular. All the normal years, he had 25, 30 students. He never had such a big class, only towards the end of his life. So he said, when he gives a shiur in yeshiva, he only has 25, 30 students. So then they're all learned people. So he can give a shiur at a much higher level. He doesn't have to water it down that they should understand. They're all learned boys. So he says, because the Jewish religion didn't become the world's biggest religion, that's why it was preserved on a higher level. If he would have had many, many converts, would have had many, many Gerim, and would be the biggest, the world's biggest religion, then everything would be watered down to the lowest level. So he says that was what he was suggesting. Maybe that was what the Apikoros was asking Beruria. How come you people, we keep on oppressing you, we keep on killing the Jews for observing the mitzvahs, and the more Jews we kill, because they're observing the mitzvahs, so the more they're the more the survivors are medaktik and mitzvahs. Why don't you give up the religion already? Why are you becoming stronger? So she says, that's what she answered. Because the smaller the crowd, so the stronger the religion is. If you're going to have too big a crowd, then it's going to be watered down. So he thought that maybe there was a kavana behind this agarit. Rani Akara Loyola, that we're rejoicing over the fact that the Jewish religion did not become so widespread, that it shrank. And as it keeps on shrinking, so we're very happy. We're not happy that so many Jews are killed, but we're happy that the Jewish religion is preserved on a higher level. That was his suggestion. Yeah. We know that the Tanakh does not appear in chronological order of the things the way they happened historically. So in Tehillim also, the Gemara says, you have a story in chapter Nun Zion that occurred prior to the story in chapter Gimel. In chapter Gimel in Tehillim, which should really be chapter Beis, because Aleph and Beis is one, so everything is, there are really 149 chapters in Tehillim. We have 150, but one or two is one. So it really ends at 149. There aren't 150 chapters. That's how the Gemara says here. So the third chapter in Tehillim is Mizmor LaDavid Bevarach Mepnei Avshalom Beno, when he was running for his life. And that happened way after the story of Shaul. Shaul HaMelech, when David HaMelech first got married. He was a bachur then. He just got married to the daughter of Shaul. So Bevarach Mepnei Shaul Bama'ara, that happened years before. In Bebarach Mepnei Avshalom was way later. He already had all the wives and he already had so many children. So how come it's out of order? How come it's not in the chronological order? That's what the Apikoris asked Rabbi Abba. They used to have Apikorsim, they used to know Tanakh, and they used to give the Chachamim a lot of trouble. The Gemara Chagiga has that one of the Chachamim died, and he used to be the big debater. He used to know how to debate all the Apikorsim. Apikorsim would always prove from Tanakh about the Yoshke, which Pesukim in Tanakh had talked about Yoshke, and he knew this Amar, knew how to answer. So then when he passed away, so the Chachamim didn't know what are we gonna, how, who's going to respond to the public debates about Christianity. So the Gemara says, it's okay, we have a tradition. When they have troublemakers, at Min HaShamayim, they send us Rabbanim who know Tanakh. When we don't have anyone to respond, so they're not going to have anyone to make the trouble. So the Gemara says, that that's what I'm saying. Here, they had these Apikursim who know Tanakh. And they're asking, what kind of Tanakh is that? Everything is out of order. So he says, by us it's not a kasha. Because we darshan smuchim. We darshan smuchim means the chumash is a mukta milchabatur, it's in a logical order, it's not in a chronological order. There is a system, but it's not a chronological order, it's not a history book. The chumash was never intended to be a history book. There's a difficult pasuk, the sefer told the sodom. Sounds as if chumash bereshis is a history book. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that the chumash is a sefer told the sodom. It means that there was a sefer shalom arishon, which predicts what's going to happen in the history for generations, for centuries, what's going to happen. But the Chumash was never intended to be a history book. So Tehillim is also, was never intended to be a history book, and many things will be not in chronological order, but in a logical seder. So he says, we darshan smuchim. Yeah. Smuchim and atarminan. How do you know you have a right to darshan smuchim? Shenema, pasuk in Tehillim, smuchim lan li'olam, asuyim v'yemes v'yoshem. You look there, it says Yevamis, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. There in Yevamis it's a machlokes hatanaim. Do you only darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah and Chumash Dvarim, or you darshan smuchim in all the Chamish and Chumash Torah? We really only darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah. And the Gemara says because Mishnah Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu mipi atzmai amora. Moshe Rabbeinu was chazering before he died, the last month before he died, chazering kol haTorah kula. So he was saying over things that linked up together by association. So he says over one din, and he says, and that reminds me of another din, and the second din reminds me of a third din reminds me of a fourth din. So the way Moshe Rabbeinu presented the dinim, there was a logical order. The second din was connected to the first, and the third was connected to the second. So Chumash Dvarmi Darshan Smuchim. Smuchim means, Hekesh means if you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's a Hekesh. Smuchim means you have two psukim and two dinim and two adjacent psukim, but they're not two dinim in the same pasuk, one pasuk next to the other. So in Chumash Dvarim Midash and Smuchim Kosu as Moshe Rabbeinu Mipiatz Ma'amara. He's saying over the dinim, he's recalling, he's remembering all the dinim and saying them in an order by association. The first din reminds him of the second reminds him of the third. And we have many, many dinim in Chumash Dvarim that are based on Smuchim. The whole institution of Malkus, that who gets Malkus, one of Violets and Abair, that's similar to the Saxon Sharbidishai, Makesh Havayel Yitzir. Well, Makesh Havayel Yitzir, that's a Hekesh. It's in the same person. But Esa Dechel Asesi is two psukim next to each other. That two psukim, I think, is the one person. That you're not allowed to wear shatnas, but if it's semer, but if it's a Begin Shol Sitzis, you are allowed to. Is that a Hekesh? Is that two dinim and one pasuk, or two psukim on next to the other? We darshan a lot of dinim are based on smuchim, a lot of dinim. That only one who's a bar kshira can write a sefer Torah tefillah and a mezuzah. Every other pasuk in Chumash Dvarim is a famous drasha of smuchim, but in the rest of the Chumash we don't darshan smuchim. Here he's saying that Tehillim is not a history book; it's a collection of mizmorim. Some of them are educational, and some of them are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Pesukah Dezimah, he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and some of them are prayers, with bakoshes, all different kinds of prokem and tilim. And the order of the prokem is not in the order that they were composed, not a chronological order, it's a logical order. So the chapter Gimel follows chapter Beis, where is Lama Raksha Goyim? That's in chapter base, I think. I think so. So he says, Mochemes Gogomogog, Lama Raksha Goyim is right next to the chapter about the merit of Avshalom. So he says, that you shouldn't be surprised. How can it be? There's going to be a Mechemes Gog and Magog. Gog Melech Magog is going to wage war against the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael. What is he, crazy? He's going to be murdered against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the nations of the world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gog Melech Magog is going to wage war. Gemara says, does it make sense that his son rebels against the father and he tries to kill his own father who is the king? It doesn't make sense, but it happens. So just like that happened. Have it. This is going to happen also. Mechemes Gog and Magog, it's not, even though it's very far-fetched, it can happen. What's taka with Mechemes Gog and Magog? Is taka going to happen? That's what it says in Tanakh, it's going to happen. So by Chassidish Rebbes from 200 years ago, somehow they had a tradition from earlier tzaddikim that it's not going to happen. But they had two different versions why. So some said Gog and Magog is not going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us already so many money, so many pogroms over the years, he gave us Mechemes Gog and Magog in smaller doses. So in one generation you had the Chmelnytsky riots, and then you had the Hitler's soldiers, then you had all over the world there were always pogroms in London years ago in the days of the Balei HaTesis and the Crusades and everything. So if you had everything up, we were Yotzei Gog and Magog ready. That's how one version was. And the other version was that they said that the big Hasidic Rebbes in the days of the Baal Shem Tev and soon after, they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you shouldn't bring the Mechemes Gog and Magog, and God accepted their prayers and he said, okay, gave in, he's not going to cause Gog and Magog to happen. Okay. Interesting that even though it says in Tanakh, not Stam. The Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, we spoke about it earlier, a few dafim ago. Masech HaShabbos says, and the Raman quotes it, Hilchas Yisari HaTorah, when he talks about the Nevuah, that how do you know if the Navi is a Navi Sheker, a Navi Emes? If he predicts the future and it comes true, so then that's a Osamofi, so you assume he's a Navi Emes. And if it doesn't come true, then you see he's a Navi Sheker. So the Raman quotes the Gemara on Shabbos, if the Navi says a Nevuah L'ro'o and it doesn't come true, that doesn't prove that he's a Navi HaSheker, because it's self-understood that every Nevuah L'ro'o is Allah Tanai if they don't do tshuva. Yonah Navi said a Nevuah about Ninveh, Arabayim, and Nevinei Pachas, and then it didn't happen because they all did tshuva. But if a Navi says a Nevuah the Teufel, and that doesn't come true, so then you know that he's a Navi HaSheker, because a Nevuah the Teufel is not going to be given Allah Tanai. Nevuah L'ro'o self-understood that it's Allah Tanai. So that I understand, a Navi says a Nevuah about Peh. But a Navi writes a Nevuah in Tanakh, Gog and Magog, and you're going to say that it won't necessarily come true. I don't know, I found that very surprising. But that's what they say, B'Shem Rav Chaim also like that, not just the Chassidus Rebbe. They say Rav Chaim died, I think, after the First World War. So they say that the First World War, many Jews lost their lives. So people said, maybe it's not so bad, maybe it's Mechemes Gog and Magog, and maybe this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. So Rav Chaim said, what do you mean? Because nefesh is dech hakol ha-tarkulus, it's dech Mechemes Gog and Magog also. If Mechemes Gog and Magog means that a Jew has to lose his life, so the Baal Shem shouldn't bring Mechemes Gog and Magog. That's the same as what the Chassidish Rebbe said, that even though it's printed in Tanakh, it may not come true. A Nevuah L'ro'o may not necessarily come true. Then the Gemara has an interesting comment. They find five places in Tehillim where it says Baruch Nafshi Yas Hashem in five different contexts. Sometimes it's a few times in the same chapter in Tehillim, sometimes it's in other chapters. What does this correspond to, the five times Baruch Nafshi Yas Hashem? The first, the Gemara says, it's the five stages of growth that David HaMelech went through from the time he was an infant, the time he was a fetus inside his mother's womb, till he actually functioned as a king. So when he was a fetus, he said, Toch kirve ima, inside his mother's kishis. Chok ravai Hashem kocha, Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem, my soul should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my intestines, my insides. Because he was inside his mother's body, so he said, I should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm inside. The man he was born, so he said, Baruch Hashem kol tzvav, let all the constellations, the stars, let them all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he was nursing from the mother, he also said, Baruch Nefesh Hashem, v'altishkichi kol gemulov, ligmol, l'igomel, means when the baby stops nursing from the mother. So the Gemara says that was the third time he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what does the Gemara say? When was the fourth time? Rabbi Mapalasim Shal Rishoyim. Later in life, he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishoyim. So he says, Yitamach HaTayim in Ha'atz Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem. Then the Stakal B'yoyim Amisa, and he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem, Shem Elokai Gadaltam B'yoyim. That goes on the Yoyim Amisa. That also brings out the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He decides when everybody should die. The Gemara says, my mashma, what's that? Where do you see a mashma? I said, whoa. The first person says, V'chol Kravai. Hashem Kotcha, V'chol Kravai goes on the intestines inside. Second pasuk says about Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav. The Tzvavim are the constellations and the stars. And then Kol Gemulav. V'atashkichi Kol Gemulav, Lihigomel means to stop nursing from the mother. But where do you get the fifth pasuk? What's the mashmoz that he goes on? Yeah, Mamis and Gemara says, yeah. Because it says, Tasta Panach Yibahela, Tasta Furuchim Yigvod, Belafar and Yeshuvan, they die and they're buried 6 feet under. Belafar and Yeshuvan, so it talks over there about the death. So the Gemara says, that's the mashmoz, that goes on death. That we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu about that. So the five times Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem, that phrase appears five times in Tillim. A few times in the same perek and another perek, so that refers to the five stages that David HaMelech went through in life. That each stage you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says the Ubrim B'Me'imon also praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fetus inside the mother's body. I remember when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, so Rabbi Gerelich was a real misnaget. So he used to always poke fun of the Hasidim. So he said, by the Hasidim they'll sing a nigun without any words. They said, but they say they have a mocker in the Gemara for such a thing. How do you see a mocker in the Gemara for a nigun without any words? So he says, because the Gemara says that the Ksubis in the first perspective, Ubrim Shebe'imon said Shira. When they had Kriyas Yamsev, the Ubrim said Shira. So you can't say words because it's Keneged Erva. Inside the mother's arms, Keneged Erva. So they just sing the nigun. So you see from the Gemara, there's such a thing. So the Gemara says, Ali also, David HaMelech said Shira when he was in Ubrim Shebe'imon. Okay, and digging without words. So that was the first opinion, that the five times Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem were the five stages in David HaMelech's development, when he was a fetus, and when he was born, and when he was nursing, and all the way from the beginning to the end, we always have to praise HaKadosh Baruch every step of the way. Then the Gemara says another suggestion, why does it say five times Baruch HaNafshi Keneged Mai? About 20 lines later. Hani Hamisha Baruch HaNafshi Keneged Mi Amar and David. So the Gemara says that the Nefesh, Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem, the soul of a human being in five different ways resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The soul is invisible just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible, and the soul keeps the body alive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the whole world alive, and so on and so forth. So maybe that's why it says five times Baruch HaNafshi Yas Hashem. Because the soul is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in five different ways, so they have a shaykhus. Okay, the last 20 lines on the Amud, a famous story, that there were two tzaddikim. Chizkiah HaMelech was a big tzaddik, and Yeshaya Novi was a Novi, he obviously was a tzaddik. So each one felt that they had what to talk about with the other one, but each one was standing on ceremonies, the other one should come to me. So the din, strictly speaking, is that the Navi has to show kavod for the Melech. So Chizkiah HaMelech felt it's beneath my dignity. I should go meet the Navi. He's supposed to come and visit by me. That's taka the din. The Navi has to show kavod for the Melech. And Yeshaya Navi held no, that he should show kavod for me. Let him come and visit by me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to speak to each other. Me'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says in Kehelis, Mika Chacham Miyadeh Pesha Dover. Who knows how to do a pshara? So the Baruch Shalom made a pshara over here. Baruch Shalom wanted the two of them to meet and discuss a certain issue together. So he caused Chizkiah HaMelech to get deathly sick. And he instructed Yishai Nav, you have to be Mevakeh Chela. So usually you go be Mevakeh Chela, say, how are you feeling? We hope you're going to get better. So Yishai Nav comes to Mevakeh Chela, he says, you're going to drop dead. What did I do? Because you didn't get married, you didn't have any children. So he says, Kuli, hi. There's a mitzvah piriribia. The 248 mitzvah says in the Torah. So because I didn't do piriribia, I deserve to die. So he says, Tzav lebeischa kemeis hatav leitichye, you're going to die, you're not going to have oilama. Everybody's going to die. You're not going to get oilama. But why? Because you didn't shumdalo asakta the piriribia. So he answers him back, well, I have Ruach HaKodesh, and I saw Ruach HaKodesh that my son Menashe is going to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. So even if I'm going to get married and have children, I won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So why should I just aggravate myself? The Pashtus is that Chizkiyahu HaMelech had a taina that the mitzvah Piririvya doesn't mean just to populate the world to have children. The mitzvah Piririvya was given to Adam Rishon, then it was given to Noach, and at that time, it's before the Jewish religion was founded, before the days of Avraham Avinu, and the mitzvah Piririvya applied to all the Umas Olam. It applied to everybody. Peruvu Milas Aretz V'Chibshua. They should conquer the world, they should populate the world, and they should get control, they should fly off to outer space and go to the moon. They should conquer everything. They should figure out all the secrets in the world, all the scientific secrets, and conquer all the diseases, to learn everything there is to learn about controlling the whole world. Then, after Matan Torah, so the Gemara says, Piririvya was a mitzvah a member of Anishnas. It was given Kodem Matan Torah to Adam and to Noach. Then it was repeated at Har Sinai. Where do you see it was repeated at Har Sinai? Gemara says, they were told 3 days before Atikshu Alisha, they're not allowed to be with their wives. And right after Matan Torah was over, they were told, Shuvu Lachem Li'olechem, everybody should go back to their wives and they should have children. So the Gemara says, a mitzvah that was Nemra Vinishness, a mitzvah that was given Kodem Matan Torah, repeated after Matan Torah, that only applies to Bnei Yisrael, no longer applies to the Umas Olam. After Matan Torah, the mitzvah for Rivya no longer applies to the Umas Olam. The world was sufficiently populated. Kodem Matan Torah, the world was, there was nobody there. There was Adam Arishon. So if you're just going to have one child, so who's the one child going to marry? So he was told, Puruvu Milas Haaretz, populate the globe. But after Matan Torah, there were enough people in the world. There's no more need to populate the sufficient population. And the whole nature of the mitzvah was changed. And now the mitzvah only applies to the Jewish people. And it's no longer Milas Haaretz to conquer the world, but rather the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. The Chizkiyahu HaNavi says, I see Baruch HaKodesh that my son is going to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. So I'm not going to be able to fulfill a mitzvah. So what do I have to have aggravation to have a son? I should see him worshipping Avodah Zarah. I don't need the whole thing. So that was his argument. So the Shaila is it right or wrong? So Yishaya HaNavi says, Amalei, 6 lines from the bottom, Ba'adi Kapshi Derachman Alomalach. These are the secrets, Dvarim Kavushim of the Rabbanu Shalom. You're not allowed to creep into the secrets. My demifkid is, but you were instructed, Kruvu Iboy Loch Lameva. You're supposed to have children. My demicha kamikur shabrichu lebe. Whatever God wants to happen, he'll see that it should happen. You mechayiv tal children. Yeah, but Chizkiyahu HaMelech gave a whole explanation. Why? He said, I'm not going to fulfill the mitzvah piririri. So what was wrong with his analysis? So you look in the Ein Yankiv here. And Yankiv is always fantastic. He has many more. He has always the Tosfos, and he has always the Marsha in bigger letters. And then he has other Mefarshim. It's always Kedai. If you have time to look in the Ein Yankiv, all you got it is. So he quotes 3 different Biurim over here. What exactly was the response of Yishaya Novi? What was wrong with what Chizkiyahu HaMelech said? So we got to see, was he right or wrong? Okay. So next time we'll discuss. People are going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think, this year, I'm supposed to be between 9:15 and 10:30. And then there's a whole day-long marathon of shiurim that everyone should be free to attend. So I don't know if maybe I'll give a shiur tomorrow on brachas, maybe I'll give on Parshas V'zois HaBracha, maybe on the Sukkos. What?
They're both brachas.
What brachas? Okay, brachas. Choice between one bracha and one. Okay.
Maybe I missed the answer. Why don't we make a bracha on seeing a non-Jewish king?
Yeah.
We generally make a bracha on Kavod Abiyot.
No. When you fulfill Kavod Abiyot, you don't say a bracha. I don't know. The Bichas Hashemah, we praise the Rabban Shalom. He gave from his covet to a bus of Adam.
That's a bracha Hashemah?
Yeah.
Other people are sick.
Yeah, the chaylim that we have in Tanakh.